opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. She is really good at telling us that we got to pay. And that's one of the themes here on High Visibility as we talk about business and leaders throughout the world. And I'm Di Chapman. Thanks for joining us this evening here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, also at www.kuci.org. And we actually have a worldwide audience now, and that's so exciting. You can also hear KUCI on my website, www.dianewychapman.com. So you can tune in loud and clear no matter where you are these days. And I got to tell you, I am totally and completely a real junkie when it comes to politics. I don't know why. I think probably because I had one of those dads when I was young that he was a traveling salesman, believe it or not, and the man never missed a voting day, because even if he was on the road out of town, he would careen back into town to make sure he got to that voting booth. And I'll just never forget that as a child. And we always had signs for candidates and walked the neighborhoods with flyers. And you know, it's great. So many people in this country have no interest in politics, and yet it is what makes the world go round. It is probably one of the greatest gifts we have in this country, our ability to actually go to a voting booth and vote. And it's amazing how many people don't do that and really have no interest in knowing what's going on with it. It's all so fascinating to me. But before I get started, we're going to talk with Dan Tsang today. He just finished his show, and I really want to hear from him how he felt about how the two conventions went, the Democrats versus the Republicans, all of the other political activities that were going on, and how he feels like the scorecard came out on this. And before we talk to him, I want to remind you that there is a City of Hope charity event going on right now with Oliver Wiss, who is a championship soccer player, and he's also a patient at City of Hope. So there's now a charity event going on in Mission Viejo, and you can find out more about it at 213-241-7107, because there is a way for you to participate and help City of Hope. And also coming up in September, and you know, I've got the information right here. If you've ever heard of Working Wardrobes, they are going to have a workshop Friday, September 22nd, and Saturday, September 23rd, on creating extraordinary joy. And my co-host, Chris Alexander, is helping to put that together. And Working Wardrobes is a fabulous charity that helps men and women, both, who have, you know, maybe need a chance to get back on their feet with their working life. And this is a way for them them to get it together, to have self-esteem and confidence and interview training, and they also get a wardrobe or two out of it to go and actually have their job interview. So it's a great cause, and it's run by Jerry Rosen. It's been around for many, many years, and it's done very well. So now that I've talked about my favorite charities, because that's one of the things I like to do on my show, to remind you with my little cattle prod to get out there and get involved in helping people in Orange County, I've got Dan with me here, and I really am interested, Dan, in you have been keeping all of us up to date on all of the stuff that's been going on with the conventions. Give me a scorecard. Republicans, Democrats, who gave the best convention, and what do you think about this incredible
election?
I think
my view is from the street, so I didn't,
No, that's good.
I didn't
give it to me.
Go into the convention center.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure it was more interesting on the streets anyway.
It was more scary. And
yeah.
I think actually Philadelphia may have been even scarier.
Really?
Because they did preemptive strikes against the demonstrators. And that's what I warned about in my op-ed in the LA Times on Saturday, a week ago. I was worried that the LAPD might copy the tactics of their brethren, I guess I call them, in the city of brotherly love.
Yeah.
but in fact, there was actually an injunction against the LAPD that the ACLU and other civil liberties people, National Lawyers Guild and such, got against the police so that they couldn't go into the gathering areas and the what they call the convergence center where the protesters were meeting.
Yeah, how many protesters did we have? How many people were in the streets?
It was up to, like, you know, the night of the Rage Against Machine. I wasn't there, but I heard there were up to 8,000 maybe.
Oh, great.
In that little pit there that was outside opposite the Staples Center. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's a really huge parking lot. It's big. It's really big, actually. And I went on Wednesday. I went to a rally there, and they had only like 50 people for the Wenho Lee case.
Yes.
Which accused. He's not actually accused of espionage, but people call it a spy case. But then, just a few feet away, the police were actually beating up people, and I didn't even notice it.
So they did.
They beat up a CNN technician. They shoved a. Actually, reporters were actually seemed to be targeted, and that's what the ACLU seems to think. They filed a lawsuit actually recently at the conclusion of the convention, and that seems a stupid thing to do.
Yeah,
actually.
It's
you
sort
want
of
to turn the cops, the press against.
No, and it sort of gives a whole new slant on the idea of journalism. You know, taking your life in your hands. Usually, you think about that if you go to a war zone, but
it was like a war zone.
Yeah,
every block in LA. A couple of times I went to different marches and. Every block was full of, helmeted and riot-geared, police. And
with
these huge green guns that apparently shot rubber bullets out.
Oh.
With these huge canisters that they were strapped to their chest, maybe, 10 or 15 canisters. And then they had plastic handcuffs, what they call flexi cuffs, that they used to...
I've seen those. Not that I've experienced them, but I have seen them. Wow.
So it was kind of scary. At one point, a professor and I went down one evening at the Convergence Center, and we were having some Asian meeting, and somebody suddenly announced that the police had surrounded the building. And luckily, because of the injunction, they did not enter. But at one point, they said close the windows, and I was worried that they were going to shoot tear gas into it.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be in a building with tear gas. So I went out into the parking lot, and eventually... the protesters actually had locked the gate because they didn't want the cops coming in. But then there was another gate that they let us go out through. And then I just stood there watching the cops. But they at one point actually pointed their weapons at us. This was on the street and kind of near MacArthur Park in the LA area.
What do they think? What would they have thought was going to happen? I mean, none of you had weapons, right?
We had cameras, and I think they don't like that.
Although
I was outside Parker Center, the police headquarters, and there was a policeman there with a Sony video camera taping everybody.
Oh, that's a wonderful thought. It's kind of like, we've gone into the zone of, remember 1984, the book?
Yeah, I think we've gone past that.
Really? Gosh. Yeah. Well, what do you think would have happened if this political event had come to Orange County?
I think it would be even more control, probably. I mean, it would be, there would be police everywhere, and they might even round up people like they did in Philly first,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do wonder because
especially with the Secret Service involved, this time the vice president, the president was
there,
vice president.
Yes.
And, you know, FBI was around. And so I think people are all freaking out.
Oh.
Yeah, and especially with black clad kids, you know, some of the kids were on the show, on my show earlier, July 4th, actually, on Independence Day.
It was great.
And some of those were demonstrating at the convention. And the specter of black anarchists running wild in the street cast a lot of fear in many people.
Really?
Even though these are just, you know, disgruntled kids.
Yes.
And some of them might be a little bit, you know, prone to throwing something, but in general, actually, I found them very intelligent, and they had read a lot, actually.
That's usually what creates a protester, or somebody who actually has an awareness, though.
Right, right. They're definitely aware of things.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like their tactics. And this time, I think they actually didn't do very much in terms of physical damage. Mm-hmm. They threw a few things, and people argue that even though the cops had stuff thrown at them on Monday night after the Rage Against Machine concert, and two anarchists had climbed on the fence and put up a black flag of anarchy, the cops just freaked out and started pepper spraying them.
Oh.
And they have a right to put up a flag, but they were afraid that they were going to jump over, I guess, get too close to these police with guns.
Anyway, they overreacted,
I think.
I know, because I'm one of those people that I love to see this, because I think, thank goodness, there are still people who are interested in the political process.
Yeah, and they care about things.
Yes, exactly. You know, I did a lot of marching and protesting in New York and Washington, D.C. when I was in my 20s.
Oh.
And one of the things that I did, and I will never forget this because it's unforgettable, I actually wanted to see the Ku Klux Klan. I wanted to see that firsthand. So I went to a Ku Klux Klan rally, and they had just rioted in Austin. You might remember this. Austin had a major riot because the Klan had marched in the streets, and people went nuts. And they had a huge, you know, fist fight of 1,000 people in the streets of the capital of Texas, in Austin. So
when year was that, in the 60s?
This would have been about, this is the 80s. This would have been about 1983.
Wow.
And I will never forget, because when the Klan came to Dallas to march, Dallas cleared out of town. It was like tumbleweeds blew through the streets. Everyone left. There was so much fear.
Uh-huh.
And there was a group of us protesters.
Yeah.
Maybe 500 or 1,000 of us who said, we're not leaving, we're going down there. And I will never forget what I saw, that hundreds of police in riot gear with guns and tear gas canisters and clubs and helmets lining the street, and the buses of the Klan rolled in and stopped, and out came these people in hoods and army fatigues who started with bullhorns screaming at us about how they hated everyone and how we should kill everyone. And I thought, I have never seen so much hate in my life. I mean it was absolutely incomprehensible. And then the riot started, and everyone just rah, and the police were holding back with the crowd, and it was utterly amazing. Well, and it was just so insightful. The hate was unbelievable.
Well, in LA, what happened was the police had put up barricades at outside Staples Center. So when they asked the crowd to disperse and gave them 15 minutes, they couldn't get out because of the narrowness. 8,000 people are trying to get out.
Oh, sure. There you go.
And then when they got out, the police started shooting at them. So they had to run backwards back to where they came out. So
like rats in a box.
There was nowhere to go.
Whoa.
And this lawyer I interviewed, Carol Sobel, he had represented the protesters and gotten the injunction Friday, a week before. He was shot. She was shot between the eyes and almost lost an eye with a rubber bullet.
Don't you know?
And she was wearing her lawyer's outfit. You know, they had yellow caps and legal team or whatever, legal observer team. And she was actually a block away from where the crowd was, where the police were. And she was blocks away from the convention center, and they still shot her. So I don't think they were aiming. They knew it was her, but they were aiming at anybody that was in the area.
Just the fact that rubber bullets were flying.
Yeah, and they claim that you're supposed to shoot these in the ground and it will ricochet, but I've seen TV footage where they actually shot it right in, you know, point blank, into somebody. So I think
that's gotta hurt.
Maybe it was a way for them to test new weapons. And,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just, you know, let's, it's like when I lived in New York City, you know, Donald Trump was going through a phase where he was going to kick out a bunch of elderly people who were living in a low income piece of property that he owned, and they were paying a lower rent. So I'll never forget this either. We went to protest at the Donald Trump building, and it was all of these people literally in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they were quietly, you know, with signs marching around. And there were the police on their horses, you know, just to make sure that all these seniors kept in line. It was just amazing to me.
What amazed me about the LA protest was the range. And it was actually a lot of young people. And, you know, sometimes it was actually more young people than older people. And I was actually kind of
impressed. That's great. Yeah. Thank goodness. Well, now, what is your, what's your perspective? This is going to be an interesting election. Do you think it's going to be close?
Yeah, and some people say don't vote for the Greens. You know, a lot of people, my friends, who actually don't like the two major parties, some of them are worried that if they vote for the Green Party candidates, it would draw votes away. But then other people think that one should take a stand and make a protest vote anyway.
It's a tough call.
Yeah, and that the two parties are pretty much the same, although they're really different on some issues, but you know, it really depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, well, what about Pat Buchanan's?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about her, you know, his vice presidential candidate is she's black.
Right.
And
she's a good-looking young woman.
Some people say, you know, oh, just because, you know, she's actually not the first black in a in the contest, because Angela Davis actually was a vice presidential candidate, I think, on the Peace and Freedom ticket before, and she's a professor now at UC Santa Cruz.
Yes, she sure is.
And, but the irony is that this black person who is the vice presidential candidate on the so-called Reform Party ticket is the California head, the chapter head for the California chapter of the John Birch Society.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe
that?
Whoa. I mean, that, I thought that used to be a supremacist group, but maybe...
Yes, Dan, I think so. Didn't they have their origins here in Orange County, too?
Yes, definitely. Well, the East Coast, but they also had... They had people
big
here.
Big here.
I remember in the 80s, they had even a booth in South Coast Plaza.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised, but boy, that is really,
it was really
amazing
to me.
Me
when I found that it was I read a piece in the Washington Post.
That is shocking. It is absolutely shocking. Well, what do you think? How much do you think that Reform Party is going to draw? The Green Party is going to draw?
Well, the infighting in the Reform Party, you know, between the Buchanan types and the others, I don't think bodes well for that party.
No.
And it will probably collapse on its own.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura left it, didn't he, because of Buchanan?
And then, you know, and Perot's not really involved. He didn't show up
anymore
at the convention.
Right.
Yeah. And a Green Party actually.
About?
Yeah, I don't know. A Green Party, it seems to be energizing. There's a lawsuit against Ralph Nader for doing a campaign ad that's parodying MasterCard's advertisement. And that would only bring him more attention.
Yeah, more attention. I wonder, can they sue him for that? I mean, is it...
They did. They did sue him.
But can
anybody
they win
can
that?
Sue anybody.
Yeah, but can they win, do you
think?
No,
I think there was a cartoon of Jerry Falwell or somebody, and that was considered... parody was considered a free speech and not copyright violation or whatever.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're if you are a public anything, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know,
so,
it's hard to stop.
I think the question is whether enough people, it's the question, you know, the polls are kind of misleading because a lot of times the polls show great spreads between like Gore and Bush.
Yes.
But if when you ask the likely voters, I think it narrows it down.
Yeah, because aren't they showing them pretty close right now?
Now,
right now. Gosh, and what do you think now? Is this the first Jewish candidate we've had on a presidential ticket?
I think they said major party, so I don't
know. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? Maybe. Yeah.
But what?
He's a conservative Jew, Orthodox Jew.
Yes.
And very moralistic. And,
right.
You know, I don't know if this whole flap over the Loretta Sanchez and the Playboy Mansion.
Wasn't that
seems
something?
To me, that was a mountain out of a molehill because the Democrats had raised money there, women's groups have raised money there, and Playboy gives money to Gore campaign.
Yeah,
Hugh Hefner and Christine Hefner, they both give money.
You know, I think everybody's just, I don't know, they're so desperately trying to distance themselves
from
that, from Clinton's supposedly, you know, all of that behavior, and I mean, they're just doing anything.
Well, they're desperate because they think that, you know, Bush will, you know, win with the more conservative voters. And so they're trying to, you know, stand clear, I guess, of Clinton's past behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in the meantime, of course, we have men dying right and left in the gas chamber, or the, is it lethal injection in Texas now? I think it's lethal injection.
He's killed, I mean, he, as Governor Bush has, you know, presided over more executions than anybody else recently.
What is the term they're using? Something about something conservatism, compassionate conservatism. What is the
term? I don't
know
if that's very compassionate.
No, but that's, there was a joke, and you would have loved this. There is a joke in every Sunday issue, and it's called Life in Hell.
Yeah.
And it actually showed, it said, here's the meaning of compassionate conservatism. And they had in every box of the joke, they had somebody saying a prayer for the next one to be executed in Texas. So,
oh,
but do you think, though, that there are enough people in this country who care about that death penalty issue that it could really
affect? I went to the march on Sunday. It was a death penalty thing, march, an anti-death penalty. And there was a range of people. But, you know, of course, the most famous case is over Mumia Abu-Jamal, and that's a very, you know, politically controversial case.
What happened in that case?
He was convicted of shooting a Philadelphia policeman, but then now there's questions about testimony of people and.
Right.
But he couldn't get a hearing, and he's not been very successful. I talked on my show. I talked to his lawyer, Leonard Weinglass, and he's actually hopeful because there's a hearing in 2 months. But I think they said that they're going to try to get a student strike going over this. And even the longshoremen in San Francisco one day stopped delivering or unloading goods in support of Mumia in San Francisco. And foreign workers have actually done more, I think. And foreign parliaments, European parliament has condemned his case and stuff like that. So he's actually getting a lot of support from intellectuals, especially also around the world. So, but, you know, the court system goes on by itself. Although this new case today that we heard about, or yesterday, that happened with this kid in Irvine who was walking down the street. And I, on my previous show, on the previous hour, I asked the attorney for that if she thought it was racial profiling when the Costa Mesa police and the Irvine police arrested her client. And what they did was, she said it was, she thought it was, because she said that she was dressed, he was dressed just like anybody else, but he didn't fit the profile of the robber in Irvine. But they put a cap on him to make him look like the robber, the cap that the robber did wear. So they basically manufactured evidence. But now the judge has ruled that he is innocent and should go.
Yes,
so
I saw
was
that.
Really kind of a rare case, although it's becoming more unrare maybe. He's the latest in maybe 3 or 4 cases that have come to light in the last few years in Orange County.
Well, do you think, you know, there's a lot of discussion because this next president, we have got a lot of old guys on the Supreme Court. I mean, seriously old.
That's what scares some people. That
it does me. That's what scares me.
They're afraid that, you know, if Bush wins, that he will put, you know. But, you know, I think the history of the Supreme Court is that you can't predict, actually. You can put a conservative in, and he could rule on really good on civil liberties issues. So you really, nobody is a total automaton. And, you know, people speak their mind. Even if you think they're Republican, they could vote Democrat.
And the whole what about the whole issue? You know, the Republican Party really brought that conservative right wing element in and embraced them. And I say they did it because of the money. I mean, I remember these guys 20 years ago.
But they were discredited. You know, Clinton won. You know, I mean.
Right. But I, you know what? But this is going to be a dividing point in this election, because the GOP is starting to swing back into moderation.
Right.
They're upsetting, of course, which is why the Reform Party thing is happening.
Right.
So they're upsetting a faction of the Republican Party that has been very moralistic.
Well, I think more people are voting or registering third party, especially even in Orange County, among, say, Vietnamese. More people now, new voters, are more likely to register as a independent or third party than Republican or Democrat.
I think that's great.
So there is, I think, more kind of disgust with the existing parties.
Yeah.
And yesterday I went to the and I played his talk actually today on subversity. The head of the Los Amigos, which is a really activist Latino group in Orange County, he was speaking as an individual, but he said that as a Democrat, he was basically disgusted with this two-party system that's not really doing very much in terms of the issues he's concerned about. And he is supporting Medea Benjamin for the race, the Green Party candidate for the senatorial seat held by Dianne Feinstein.
Really?
So that's a major, surprising.
Very major. How do you think she's going to do in this election?
She's not getting much press.
No.
I was one reporter there, and there was somebody from KOCE, and then OCN showed up late. That was it.
Really?
Two TV people. One KUCI reporter.
Whoa.
And no mainstream media, no Register, no LA Times, you know, and she had, you know, been crisscrossing the state in her yellow bus.
In the yellow bus. What about Boxer, Barbara Boxer? What's she up to these days?
I mean, she's incumbent, so she can get a lot of... Mm-hmm. Is she running, too? Because I think Feinstein is, but I don't know about Boxer.
You know, I don't know.
I think maybe one of them is running or not. But, they're both running.
I think they're both running.
Oh, yeah, I guess they're two-year terms, right?
Yeah, the time I've spent with Boxer, I don't think she's going to give up, from that.
I just haven't heard her name that much this time. I've heard of Feinstein.
What do you think is the most important issue in California?
I guess it depends on who you talk to, I mean, gang violence has gone down. Crime has gone down. They say it's a prosperous time.
Yeah, infant mortality is actually going down. I was reading, too. Yeah. Children are healthier here.
Right.
Finally, we weren't doing that great.
That's the funny thing is that, usually when the economy is good, the incumbents stay in power. So I'm not sure why Bush is having such a, lead.
Yeah, and the economy has been good.
Right.
We've been doing really well.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, California, they say, is a bellwether state. So if they carry Orange County, they may carry. I don't know. It's hard to.
It's going to be a great campaign from the simple standpoint that we're going to have some. It's going to be like watching a great football game, don't you think?
Well, some people are tuning out and just. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really that much into electoral politics, but I think it's too big, at this point. I think local politics, like at the regional or the city council level, could be more interesting, but people always focus on the national and state, right?
I like to take a look at all of it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it starts.
But most people ignore local politics. Mm, yeah.
And that's a dangerous thing to do.
Right.
Really
look at what happened in Huntington Beach with all these scandals.
Yep, it's very dangerous. Oh, and remember, do you remember Vista a couple of years ago?
Uh-huh.
They had been taken over by a conservative faction on the school board. They had thrown out most of the books, and when they started trying to throw out school lunches, they were all voted off the board. But they really believe that the public should not have to feed kids.
Ketchup was considered a vegetable, I guess.
Yeah, it was just amazing. But, Dan, thanks so much, because I'd like to do this periodically between now and the elections, because I just think this is going to be one heck of an election year.
That's true.
I really do. And there is a lot of exciting stuff going on. And you've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM here, and I'm Di Chapman with High Visibility, and Dan Sang from Subversity stayed around today so we could talk a little bit about elections after we talked with Dick Lyles, who is with the Ken Blanchard Company. And next week, we'll be back to more business that's going on with leadership issues. And we hope you've all enjoyed the show and have a great evening. We'll be back next week. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.